The following program is sponsored by the Jelinski Advisory Group, which is solely responsible for its content. Josh Jelinski is the president of Wealth Quarterback LLC, a registered investment advisory firm located in New Jersey. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm or its representatives by securities regulators, nor is it an indication that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability. Investment advisory services may only be provided to clients in jurisdictions in which the firm and its representatives are appropriately registered or exempt from registration. You should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this broadcast serves as the receipt of or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from the advisor. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that the future performance of any specific investment, investment strategy, or product, or any non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this broadcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance level or levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Past performance is not indicative of future result. Investment advisory services offered through Wealth Quarterback LLC.
Tired of losing money in the stock market roller coaster? Frustrated with the government taxing you into oblivion? Worried about inflation? How do you prepare for so many financial uncertainties? Welcome to the show that will help you develop your game plan. The Financial Quarterback with Josh Jelinski. Josh is a noted financial advisor and president of the Jelinski Advisory Group, and he's here to answer your questions. Call into the show at 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. Now, let's kick off your financial future. Here's Josh Jelinski.
So the new headline for today is Tina. There is no alternative than stocks and risk assets has been replaced by screaming Tina, which is if you are in stocks right now, you're screaming. And you might say, well, what is the good news in all this? My 401k has become a 301k and maybe a 201k. So what do you do with your money in these uncertain times? Well, this is the show for you. Unscripted, uncensored, shockingly raw, taking your questions on all matters financial. If you're too cheap to get a financial advisor, well, you should get one because this is the time you need one. This is the time you need a balanced portfolio. And folks, this is the golden age. Tina, there is no alternative to stocks, has been replaced by screaming Tina or the golden age of fixed interest rates. Folks, I have been waiting for these days for years. Do you remember the old 5% CD, Jim?
Yes.
Well, they're back. Well, they're not really five, but they're like 4, 3, 4.5. You could right now get fixed annuities, and we're not selling anything over the radio, with no internal fees for 5 years at like 4%+. That hasn't been for years. You can get a 3-year program, no fees, for 4.05%. And people are like, well, I want an IBON. Well, I got news for you. IBONs are great for about 10 grand each spouse. We had someone call us this week, said they could get more than that in. I don't see that. If you do, if you're an IBON expert, you can call us. I think it has to do with your tax return, and probably what they're referring to is buying like TIPS directly. So we could buy, you know, you can buy very good rated 1, 2, and 3 year products, 1 year treasuries, 2 year treasuries, 3 year fixed annuities, life insurance, all of those fixed rate products, which were paying bubkis a year ago, 2 years ago, are paying rates we haven't seen since 08. So Tina has been replaced by the golden age of fixed interest rates. So what do you do? T. Rowe Price says, stay the course despite market volatility. Well, that's exactly what you would expect them to say. They are a mutual fund company selling mutual funds. But I will tell you why you shouldn't stay the course later on. Sonia says this, what is the best way? Sonia, want to share your question? Go ahead.
I wanted to know what is the best way to
like invest in stocks, is it better to just invest with a stockbroker, or is it better to actually go through where you get the actual certificate of the stock so you have proof of ownership?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know many people who recommend getting stock certificates anymore. If you didn't want a financial advisor, you could go through a discount brokerage. We deal with Fidelity or Schwab. The reason is, back in the old stock certificates, if you lose them or if you get stolen or your house burns down, there goes your money. They're also very hard to pass. With a brokerage account, you can make it what's called transferable on death. So the money bypasses probate and goes directly to your heirs. Okay, so that's what I would do if you're looking at buying individual stocks. Now, back in the day, we have a lot of listeners who come to me with boxes full of drips. So the reason I wouldn't have a stock certificate is, what happens if you get stolen from? Also, what happens if you die? A lot of heirs come to me and they're like, oh, my grandfather had Pepsi stock and 800 different stocks with 800 different companies, and it's a nightmare to pass. With a brokerage account, you could get financial advice from a fee-based fiduciary like what we do. Or frankly, even if you don't want a financial advisor, you could just have a brokerage account and the money passes transferable on death, and it's one statement, not 800. So I would recommend you avoid stock certificates. Now, back in the day, I'm talking like the 80s and early 90s, there are DRIPs. If you have DRIP accounts, those have become obsolete because back in the day, they were the way to get stocks cheaply. You can do that now through a brokerage account. So you would go direct to the company. They would set you up with a DRIP, and some would even give you a discount per share if you bought it through them. That doesn't really happen anymore. In the world of 0% commissions for online trading accounts, you know, I really think it's not necessary. So I hope that helps you.
Thank you. Good information.
So IAM says this: I wish I took money out of my 401k when Trump allowed it without a penalty. Yeah, well, we talked about that during the show a few years ago, how that was an epic opportunity. Now, you would theoretically have to pay it back, but, you know, we shall see. So, folks, we'll talk about the history of the income taxes and why your 401k or IRA may be a big mistake. But first, back to this Genesis concept. When I see an emotional investor, the first thing I can tell you is they don't have an income plan. So the number one thing you need to look at, think about your grandparents. Who were the happiest people you knew? Those with a pension. Those who got mailbox money. They got their dividends every month on the same date. So if you're nearing retirement, or if the market unnerves you, consider having enough in pension-like accounts to meet your daily living needs. For many people, that's around 10 grand a month. For a married couple, $5,000 a month for a single couple. For some, it's much more than that. But that's typically when people come to me and they say, Josh, you know, I want to make between 10 and 15 grand a month in retirement. That money, that's your monthly nut. Don't crack your monthly nut. It should be fixed. It should be income oriented, where you're getting monthly checks coming into you. And that can be achieved through pensions, social securities, treasuries, fixed annuities, income-oriented things. Now, you might say, well, I don't like annuities. And some of you are too young for that. But the point is, you have to begin with the end in mind. Meaning, if you have all your money, if you're 26 or 36 and you have all your money in 401k and it's making you a little nervous because it's all in stocks and it's down 30%, maybe start saving 50 to 100K in something that's more conservative so that you have money available for opportunity. Maybe when real estate corrects, maybe when the stock market reaches bottom And nobody can exact time the bottom or top, but we do know things are on sale. So give us a call, 888-988-JOSH, 888-988-JOSH. If you have questions on stocks, bonds, annuities, mutual funds, whatever question you have, no question is a dumb one, except the one that you do not ask. Now, who here made a Roth IRA contribution for 2021, but your income was too high? Maybe you made a traditional IRA contribution without having earned income. These are both examples of what are called excess IRA contributions. And according to IRAhelp.com, the bad news is that excess IRA contributions happen easily and often. The good news is that if you're properly correct the contribution, you can avoid penalties. If you do it right, you can avoid penalties. To be sure that no mistakes are made, this is a good time to seek the advice of a professional tax advisor and a professional financial advisor. Here's another tip. If you don't have an excess contribution, are you putting money in an IRA? So Sonia has a question. Go ahead, Sonia.
Okay, so I'm 55. So when I planned my retirement, which I did retire at 50, I wanted to make sure that I had enough to sustain my life. So I think it's important for the young people listening in that they figure, how can you go ahead and talk about how you need to plan ahead as far as inflation and stuff? I know nobody can ever predict inflation, but how do you as a financial advisor decide that?
Well, I assume inflation. So you beat inflation by one of two things, more money. And the second answer is more money. The only way you get more money is you focus on taking your fixed interest rates and getting the best fixed interest you can. So if you're at 1%, meaning, you know, you can't control macro inflation. That's something outside of your control, but you can control how your portfolio adjusts. So I always have a portfolio. I mean, ideally, if someone's in retirement phase, they should have 40, 50% betting on deflation and 40, 50% betting on inflation. So the inflation bucket would have stocks, real estate, Bitcoin, exchange traded funds, index funds, the non kind of market bucket would have treasuries, bonds, annuities, cash value and insurance. And the real reason to have a deflation bucket is, what if the recession lasts a while? You know, from 2000 to 2010, equities did not keep pace with inflation. From 2010 to last year, they did. But from January 1 of this year, they didn't. So a lot of people say you need stocks to beat inflation. That's true over, you know, a 20-year period, but there are some decades where that isn't true. So that's why I like to have a bucket betting on deflation and a bucket betting on inflation personally. So that's how I hedge listeners from inflation. And then you model out, is your retirement plan sustainable? Also, if you have a paid off house, right? A lot of people have a paid off house or retired. A lot of people don't. One way to, you know, if you don't have a mortgage, I mean, there's one cost of living factor that isn't there. Now, your home insurance will go up with inflation. Your property taxes will go up with inflation. So we have clients, they live in Long Island, they're moving to Delaware. And they're saving $29,000 a year on property taxes. So some people are beating inflation by moving away, moving to Florida, moving to Texas, moving to Delaware. I think policymakers of both parties, this is a real bipartisan problem for states with high tax loads. People are leaving them with money, so they are losing tax revenue. So I think Pennsylvania, which does not have people leaving them as much, is a good indicator of what the rest of the nation should be doing. They should have like a 3% flat tax, maybe a 1% local tax, and people don't really leave over that. New Jersey, on the other hand, where taxes are north of 10%, if you have a lot saved and you're significantly wealthy, you're going to move to Florida and you're getting an instant 10% bump in your cost of living. So the way you counteract inflation is also wise tax planning, because taxes will go up. So that's very critical. So folks, type your questions in the chat. We would love to answer all of them. Raise your hand. We'll bring you up on stage. T. Rowe Price found that 401k participants on the whole have been staying the course. During the first half of the year, more than 95% have not made any investment exchanges. So good for you. And fewer than 1% of those fully invested in target date funds made any investment changes. Well, I would often say, well, it depends on your plan. Are you doing it because you're just doing it? Or you're doing it because that 401k is your riskier money and you're staying the course because you don't know the future? You know, that could be a wise path. Now, the firm continues to suggest, and I would agree with this, workers save at least 15% of their pay, including any employer contribution, of their annual salary for retirement. It's suggested that those close to retirement but unable to meet their retirement savings benchmarks might consider delaying retirement for a year or two, taking part-time work in retirement, or making spending adjustments. So here's the thing amidst this volatility. Get a second opinion on your wealth, but continue saving. Learn your investment options. Call us at 888-988-JOSH, and we'll help you. This is Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. Don't touch that dial.
Tune in to the financial quarterback, Josh Jelinski, this weekend and learn how to protect your financial future in a down economy. Josh and his team at the Jelinski Advisory Group can help you lower your taxes and lower your risk in these uncertain times with a 27-point checklist designed to improve your financial health. Whether you're worried about runaway prices, fear of an upcoming recession, or a stock market meltdown, tune in to the financial quarterback and count on Josh Jelinski to call the play. For a free copy of Josh's book, The Retirement Reality Check, call 888-988-5674. That's 888-988-5674. Or visit Jelinski.org. That's Jalinski.org.
Some of you might say, well, you know what? You're talking to rich people. You know what? Let this be a reminder. If you have $200 a month to save, save $200 a month in a Roth. Get started. And I'm going to give you some tips on getting started, whether you're rich, poor, middle class, when we talk about our customizable model for financial planning. But we talked about excess IRA contributions. So let it be a reminder. If you didn't put money into a Roth, put it in. Beauty of a Roth is it grows tax-free and you can pull it out tax-free. So there's a lot we've talked about, but I always love to hear from you. So if you have questions on stocks, bonds, annuities, mutual funds, we got a question from Mike. We will bring you up on stage. We will also ask, we have a question from Janine. We'll go to Janine shortly. Janine, if you want to talk, just raise your hand. Mike said, how can he convert his 401k to BTC? Well, we do work with retirement plan sponsors that have embraced Bitcoin. Now, there are different cautions regulatorily on Bitcoin within a 401k. So a lot of companies, even though it's technically allowable, aren't doing it. We can figure out how to put Bitcoin within a 401k through Fidelity Digital Assets, through different pension providers. You got to make sure your pension company is willing to do it, though. And we found various 401k companies that allow it. So next up, we're going to go to Janine. You're on with Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. Go ahead.
So my question is there any way around the 20% federal tax and then the 10% tax when you do an early withdrawal from your pension.
Well, how old are you?
I'm asking. I'll be 40. Not a problem. I'll be 42.
Okay. Well, if you are 59 and a half, you avoid the 10% early withdrawal penalty. Other ways are what are called hardship withdrawals. So have you had a hardship?
No, I'm resigning from the position.
Okay. If you rolled into an IRA, though, I'll give you the third option. One way to avoid penalties is you got to be 59 and a half. The other way is you have to have a hardship and the definition of hardship as defined by the IRS. So if you got disabled, things like that. Losing a job doesn't necessarily count. There are provisions where if you lose a job or you have a first time home purchase, I can read off those next hour. But for most people, the exception is called Substantial Equal and Periodic Payments Rule, SEPP. So there's something called the 72T and a 72Q. So let's say you did an IRA. If you take that 401k and you make it an IRA and you make the IRA an SEPP, then you avoid the 10% early withdrawal penalties. You do not avoid income tax, but you avoid the extra penalties, which is a great way to get money out of a 401k over time and to put it in things that may be more tax efficient down the road. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
And the whole, headline of this part of the show might be, how to make yourself and your tax plan look more like Warren Buffett's. And if you think about Berkshire Hathaway stock, his stock is not within an IRA. It is outside of an IRA and it doesn't pay a dividend. So that tells you something. But yes, it's called SEPP. So Terry says this, Alto and iTrust offer crypto trading within an IRA. Well, I've never even heard of those companies and I wouldn't give them half my money. It's like so many of you are gullible. You're sheeple. I mean, you're giving money to unregulated custodial firms that are not even proven. I heard of some of these companies that go under. So I'm not saying about those two, but it's like a lot of people. I mean, are you really that gullible? I would have a reputable third party custodian like a Fidelity, like a Schwab, like an Interactive Brokers. People, one of the top questions of the last 12 years is, how do I know, you're not a Madoff or something like that? And the answer is because we never hold constructive receipt of your funds. We don't take custody of your funds ever. That's how you know. So you mean, we use Interactive Brokers or Schwab or Fidelity or Nationwide. So we'll use a reputable third party custodian. They get audited. They have all these issues. They have regulatory controls. They have compliance departments. Some crypto trading outlet, I'm not going to put my hard-earned money with some company that has a name like Revo. It's funny. Crypto trading companies and churches now all of a sudden have the same names, like, these one-word kind of obscure names. No offense if you're, like Revolve or Breathe. Or liquid, or nitrogen, helium, And I'm not, bad-mouthing any particular company. It's just funny. We have to think of a company like Distortion, They have these fanciful names that, I don't know. For some reason, I guess it's trendy, but I would rather have a company that is a third-party reputable custodian. That's just me. So, House Ways and Means Committee Tuesday. So what are we going to talk about this hour? Higher income beneficiaries may see smaller premium surcharges. In a reversal, the Education Department is now excluding some borrowers from student loan relief. I thought we had student loan relief. Well, this is a problem when you don't have bills that are actually voted on and you have executive order fiats. One in four adults in the U.S. lives with a disability. Having a financial plan to address this is critical. So maybe you or a loved one have a disability, maybe a special needs situation. You have to have a plan to address this. The House Ways and Means Committee Tuesday ordered recommendation of the full House H.R. 82 and the Social Security Fairness Act of 2021, which repeals the Social Security's windfall elimination provision, which in some instances reduces Social Security benefits for individuals who also receive a pension or disability benefit from an employer that did not withhold Social Security taxes. If you work for an employer who doesn't withhold Social Security taxes from your salary, such as a governmental agency or an employer in another country, any retirement or disability pension you get from that work can reduce your Social Security benefits. The Social Security Fairness Act, this is big, folks, would eliminate the WEP, the windfall elimination provision, and the government pension offset, the GPO. These provisions can reduce benefits for public workers who do not pay Social Security taxes. I think it's dumb. You didn't pay Social Security taxes. You shouldn't get Social Security. But hey, we have a lot of clients who this affects. So hey, they'll get extra checks that they can invest with us. So God bless you. Representative Larson called again for Congress to take up his Social Security 2100 bill, which would also repeal these rules. The bill also eliminates the GPO, the government pension offset, which in various instances reduces Social Security survivors' benefits for spouses, widows, and widowers who also receive government pensions on their own. The bill's changes are effective for benefits payable after December 21. With the Ways and Means Committee reporting the bill without recommendation, it's now up to the House Democratic leadership whether to take up the bill on the House floor. So if you were a postal worker or something like that, or government worker, call up your congressperson and say, take up this bill, Social Security 2100. But chances of that happening by year end appear to be unlikely. As the Social Security Administration explains, the WEP can affect how it calculates workers' retirement or disability benefits. The WEP can reduce your retirement or disability benefits if you receive a pension based on work and you did not pay Social Security taxes. House Ways and Means Chairman Richard Neal, Democrat of Massachusetts, said Tuesday during the markup that the H.R. 82, which has 300 co-sponsors, is very popular. There are also concerns about its broader impact on the solvency of Social Security. We are faced with a very challenging question: how to address the concerns of hardworking public servants while also safeguarding Social Security for all and for generations to come. I'm committed to working closely with ranking member Republican Kevin Brady to find meaningful relief to those who have spent their lives in the service of their communities. So if you are a former government worker, what's your take on this Social Security 2100 bill? I think every former government worker should call their congressperson and say, vote for Social Security 2100 bill. Now, every taxpayer may think again. So we'll take a short break. And when we do, we'll be back with your calls at 800-321-0710. And if you have a question on Clubhouse or YouTube, type your question in the chat box. We'll be live after these messages.
Tune in to the financial quarterback, Josh Jalinski of the Jalinski Advisory Group this weekend and learn how to protect your financial future during these turbulent times. Looking to lower your taxes or need help securing your financial future? Then Josh and his team are the people for you. They're experts in financial economics with one mission in mind: to protect you and your investments. From their 27-point checklist to their one-of-a-kind financial quarterback approach, they help you achieve financial health and guide you through the hard times of high inflation, looming recessions, and stock market meltdown. For financial security, call them now, 888-988-5674, and get your free copy of Josh's book, The Retirement Reality Check.
We have three callers waiting. Go ahead.
Josh, I've been listening for the last hour. I wanted to talk about if the stock market goes. I'm 73, and I remember when I was 20, you could put money in a savings passport account and get 5, 6, 7, 8% interest. If everything collapses, could they go back to that system, or is that just, you know, dreaming?
Well, right now things are paying 4 or 4.5. So we are closely going to that system.
Who's paying 4.5?
Oh, insurance companies, Treasury, U.S. Treasuries are paying 4 right now. It's a glorious time for fixed interest investors.
Yeah, but it was so simple when I was 20. You went to any
bank.
It's
still simple, except you go to a financial advisor now. The banks aren't giving you 4. They're giving you 0.01.
Right. No, I know that. But if everything if the market collapses and everybody's living on credit cards and nobody has any cash, it sounds good. But, you know,
well, right now, the U.S. government is paying 4% for a year, 4% for 2, 4% for 5. You can get those better rates right now. Before they go down.
If the market goes and everybody loses their 401k.
Market's already going down.
What's that?
Market's already going down.
Yeah, but if it collapses, since it's a fake bull market.
The market the markets won't go away. Business will always exist. The question is, what is the bottom? No one really knows. You know.
Yeah, but the thing is that if you have enough money, you'll do well. But for 90% of people, if it collapses, it's not good for not just the poor, but for even the middle class, because everything is a credit card economy. Isn't that reality?
So to be clear, I don't think I've heard things are pretty bad in 08, right? And the system didn't collapse.
So the system didn't collapse, but what happened is that the average person didn't do too well. I think we'll look back nostalgically at 2008 if it goes now. I don't know. Maybe I'm an old guy living on Social Security that's pessimistic.
Yeah, you're being very pessimistic. The thing I've learned is that business triumphs over politics in the markets, meaning you can look at the world around you and say, this is horrible. I saw it in 08. I saw it in 2000 to 2002. And that's why I tell people, have a certain amount for safety, have a certain amount for conservatism, and then have a certain amount for growth. So don't fear. But you had said, hey, you were longing for the day of 5% CDs or whatever. Well, we are pretty much very close to that. Now, just because your bank isn't paying you a better rate, that means you need to pick up the phone. Call us at 888-988-JOSH for better fixed rate options on your money. My schedule just opened up this Monday or Tuesday. We have a couple spots left on Monday. I have 2 appointments available this Monday and 2 this Tuesday. So if you want to get on, 888-988-JOSH. 888-988-JOSH. All throughout the country, we're doing Zooms. Or you can meet me at my corporate headquarters in beautiful Toms River, New Jersey. Although it's rainy today. So, folks, we're taking your questions on Clubhouse, YouTube. Type your question in the chat box. I am going to give you a 27-point ultimate financial game plan if you call us at 888-988-JOSH. And later on, I'll tell you what is included in that 27-point game plan. But first, we're going to Greg. Greg, you're on.
Good morning, Josh. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, my son is a recent graduate of college and started his career. He's 23 years old. And his investment vehicle currently is the employer 401k, a Roth 401k, and uses his salary through the traditional bank. Looking to give him some advice, what's your feelings on investing in the S&P 500, like a mutual fund for savings, as well as a Roth IRA with the focus of the S&P 500? Looking to invest about $500 per month in each of those types of funds. Wanted your opinion on those. Thank you.
Is he eligible to do a Roth?
Yes, he is.
So $500 a month in a Roth in S&P 500 type funds. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. That, as far as a Roth IRA, as well, and then the second investment would be, you know, like a mutual fund for investments focused on the S&P 500.
Well, I would do a couple things if I was a 23-year-old. First, and I'm hearing crackling, so just bring his level down, Bruce, because it's a little frustrating. First, you can do three things. Number one, make sure your 23-year-old son gets disability insurance. Why? It's cheap, and too many people, one out of every four adults are disabled or some horrible statistic like that. So make sure he gets disability insurance while he's cheap. Then make sure he gets term life insurance that's convertible to whole while he's cheap. Then make sure he gets a six-month emergency fund in the bank while he's young. Not while he's cheap, while he's young. While it's cheap. Then look at doing a Roth for $500 a month or something like that in growth-oriented, strategic-type accounts. You could look at stocks that do not pay a dividend, similar to Warren Buffett's approach. We have portfolios of individual stocks that pay a dividend and portfolios of individual stocks that do not pay a dividend. And we also have programs where you buy index funds or ETFs, but you don't want to have all the index funds in the S&P. You want to overweight. The French Fama theory would talk about having 10 to 15%, for example, in small cap value. If you look at an asset class, according to University of Chicago researchers, French and Fama, a portfolio with some exposure to small cap, like a small cap value index mixed in with the S&P, has outperformed the S&P since 1927. So you want to look at building a long-term portfolio of index-based ETFs, individual stocks. Make sure he doesn't cheap out on insurance, get disability insurance. And also something that younger people could look at too is maximum funded tax advantage insurance contracts, which will grow tax-free and he could pull it out tax-free. So you could look at all of those things. I hope that helps. Any other questions?
No, that really does. Should the disability insurance and the term life be separate from what the employer offers? Or
yes, you want it portable. You want it portable because most people don't keep their job with the same employer forever. And then when he's older, it becomes, but you can actually, what's kind of cool is you can buy like what's called an FIO, a future insurability option. So the base plan can be covered by the work plan, but I'm talking like $30 a month at his age or $50 a month. It's very cheap.
Oh, great.
I would definitely do it. Awesome. Why? Too many people don't buy insurance when they're young and it's very cheap. And then they wait till they're older and they need it and it's expensive or it's unattainable. So if I'm helping a young person, don't get term insurance, just get term insurance, convertible to whole, get disability insurance, build an emergency fund, max out your Roth IRA. If he has a workplace plan, max out the Roth 401k. And then I'll look at cash value insurance. Also look at stocks that do not pay a dividend like Berkshire Hathaway, because that's a very powerful long-term. I'm not telling you to buy Berkshire Hathaway stock, okay? I own it, clients own it, but if Warren Buffett dies, there could be risk. But I mean the principle of people think, I want a dividend paying stock. If you're young, you really don't, because all of those years of dividends, paying tax on that, you'll lose the tax revenue plus the opportunity cost on the taxes. So I hope that helps.
Okay.
Next up, we have Alice.
So much.
Great question, Greg. And folks, if Greg, if you want help with your son, we will make our services available free for 1 hour if you call us at 888-988-JOSH. We'd love to help young people get started so they become more astute financial planners on their own, no matter what their wealth. So call us 888-988-JOSH for the free 27-point ultimate financial game plan. Next up, Alice. Go ahead.
Hi, Josh. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is on RMDs. A few weeks ago, you had a caller, I think he's a regular, so I hope he's listening, named Tom, but I don't know what state he was in. He said that he had spoken to his legislators about his idea, which is the same idea as mine, to ask Congress to make another waiver to pay RMD for this year because we have been hit so badly. So that's basically my idea to anyone out there listening. I mean, I've been paying RMD for 10 years. You know, it's the group that's not getting a break. The age is being raised up to eventually 75. Now it's 73. But there's no break for the old people over 75 that have already been paying. I'm looking for a help for us on the other end of it, not the starting end, but the ending end, which would, well, a waiver, of course, would help everybody. But that's the main thing I'm asking people out there who are listening that are in this age group. Call your Congress people and tell them you need a waiver of RMD for this year. Okay, so that's my suggestion for today. I'm writing a congressional bill. I want to send it to Kevin Brady, but he's not my congressperson, to try to help people. I have many other ideas on this, like dropping the percentage, which increases every year, and I think even some accountants are not aware that the percentage using the life expectancy chart goes up every year. When we have less money and can't work to help ourselves, they're making the percentage that we have to pay on even more due to that chart, which there were accountants that are not even aware of that. So it's everything is so hard for the older people who were responsible. I started IRAs more than 30 years ago, and of course you know where my IRA is now. But for those of us that were responsible, we don't need incentives to fund our IRAs like they're giving to the young people. You know, we did that. We were responsible. And I think it's time for the older people to have Congress, you know, with all the trillions and billions they're giving out of free money, we are not getting any free money. This would be just, you know, just to help on what we're already paying. It's not even free money. What do you think of the idea?
I love the idea, and do I think it'll happen? I don't know. You know, probably not. But they did this in 2020, so maybe they'll do it again in enough people. So if you're over 72, which, you know,
73, even 70, okay.
If you're over a certain age, will you, and you value what Alice is saying, call your congressperson and say, waive the RMDs for 2022. I'll give you a little tip. You got to be simpler. If you're trying to get somebody to do what you want, you got to make it simple, right? So we want RMDs waived for 2022. Call your congressperson. Also, call your congressperson on the 2100 bill for Social Security. That'll really help retired federal government workers. And folks, if you are a federal worker, call us at 888-988-JOSH for our free federal worker benefits and you. We know all about Fegley and the TSP, and we can help you. We're not affiliated with any government or governmental institution, but we can help you learn your benefits better. But hey, but here's the thing. All these nice gimmies have to be paid for. So I don't know if they'll do this, but you can try, right? Ask and you may receive.
It's not creepy, remember. It's just paying less on hours. They're not giving us anything. It's just based
on... No, it is a freebie because the government isn't getting their revenue. They didn't... You got to realize, in the government, in the 401k, I'm agreeing with you, Alice, but I'm just saying is you didn't pay tax on that money for 20, 40, 30 years. So the 401k, the deal with the 401k is that you don't pay tax on it until you're retired. That was the deal you signed up for.
Josh, the Roths were not created when I started for 10 years.
No, I know. I've talked about this for years. You've listened to me, I'm sure. Your voice sounds familiar.
Yes, I have.
So I've talked about that for years. People said I was an idiot. When I started my show, you know, 15 years ago, they said, oh, who is this guy talking bad about the 401k? He's a moron. Get him off the radio. No. And now, I was proved very wise. I knew that when I was 23 in the business. That this whole 401k, TSP, 403b was a ruse. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan of New York called this. He said, basically, we created a plan for working people that when they retire, they're going to have to pay taxes when the government's in all this debt. So you're right. A lot of these things are on the backs of those who are good little boys and girls who did what they were supposed to.
Thank you.
This is Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. Don't touch that dial.
Maybe it seems like prices can't get much higher, or that the stock market is headed for bear territory, or maybe you're worried about another great recession. Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback, can help you protect your family's financial future in times like these. Tune in this weekend to The Financial Quarterback to hear how Josh and his team can help you decrease your tax liability and lower your risk. Call 888-988-5674 to take advantage of Josh's 27-point plan to achieve financial health. And when you call, you'll receive a free copy of Josh's book, Retirement Reality Check. Tune in every weekend to The Financial Quarterback and call 888-988-5674 to receive your free copy of Retirement Reality Check.
When I was younger, I'm 72 now. As you age, you grow in many ways. I panicked in the summer of 2000. I was home. I was still teaching. The market was going down. I shouldn't have watched CNBC. I sold a lot of things. Regrettably, it came back. In 2008, Josh, don't you think the financial crisis that we had back then is worse than what we have now? And if when people sold out, they, you know, regrettably, they lost. When you sell, you take a loss. But if you hold on, it came back. And I'm thinking the same way now. I'm still ahead of the game, but I decreased my profit now, and I'm reinvesting the dividends in my stocks. So within 5 years, don't you feel that the market will be back and growing again?
I have no clue. Generally, the market is usually greater 10 years from today. But in 2000, that wasn't the case. 2000, 2010 was a lost decade for equities. But then if like you said, if you just kept with it and you held firm from 2010 to 2020, I think it tripled. So time is a friend to the investor. Don't panic sell is a good tip. But I don't know what you're holding. I don't know what Joe Smith is holding, listening on the air right now. You may be in crap funds, you know. So I think it's depends on each investor. I think if people are wigged out, I think, yeah, panic selling's bad. But if you're 100% in equities, shame on you. Maybe you should be 30% in more conservative stuff or 40 so that you don't sell the other 60. That's what I'm more about. But yeah, I mean, I think generally people shouldn't panic sell. I think if they're worried about the market, they should call us, 888-988-JOSH. We will review your top five holdings from a standpoint of risk, fees, and taxation. But yeah, definitely. I think it's a good word for most people. Any other questions or comments on that, Teddy?
Yeah, I want to second with that. The previous caller, the woman had an excellent idea, and I'll write to my congressman, whoever that may be. But because for people, you know, in their 70s, you know, we're not taking advantage. We don't have a shot like what Congress did for people. Raising the minimum wage, minimum age to take their RMD. And I think that would be very beneficial to a lot of people because of the way the market is now. And just reducing the amount that you have to take by reducing the percentage, I think that's an excellent idea. And Josh, one last thing.
Number one, they're not reducing the percentages. They already changed that. That's not going to happen. Maybe they'll waive the RMD. So they're... The reason why the percentage increases is because that 401k was a tax break for you so you could afford retirement. So the idea was that your money grows till 72. It was 70 and a half. It will be about 75. And that your money is amortized or spent from 75 to 90 or however long you live, basically. So that your 401k or IRA is emptied for your retirement. And the Secure Act showed that 401k is not for your kids. That's for your retirement. That was the concept of it. And Mitt Romney kind of changed that when he had the $60 million IRA. Last thoughts, and then we got to take a break.
Yes, last thought. Josh, I think you would agree with me on this. The studies have said that if you miss maybe 8 or the 10 best days of a market returning to a bull market, you miss a large percentage of the gain that you could have made. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. I don't like when anybody questions me like that. It's like you're, do you know where you were on the night of February 4th? I could converse. I generally agree with the 10 best days and the 10 worst, but there's another corollary to that called the 10 worst days. So if you miss the 10 worst days, that will really help your portfolio. So I generally agree with that, that people have a hard time. Most people, timing's impossible, the exact top or bottom. So if you stay in it, what I believe is that if you have money that you can hold on to for 10 years, right, that could be
right.
A worthy buy and hold candidate for market-based money. So if you, or maybe even 5 years, so you need to, whatever your market money is, as long as you don't need it for your bills. The problem is too many people are overweighted to equities because we had such a good run from 2009 to 2021. They should have had 30% in cash, treasuries, bonds, annuities, fixed things, and they didn't. So that's the problem now. So I'm not going to, if someone was an idiot and has 100% of their money in stocks, I don't say good boy. I don't say, good boy, Teddy, you know, you had all your money in stocks and your wife's ready to divorce you because your portfolio is down by $500,000. Well, so it's a, you know, it depends on the fact pattern of the individual. That's why everybody should call for their own individual review at 888-988-JOSH, 888-988-JOSH. Do not rely on pithy sayings like the 10 best days or the 10 worst days. They are generally true. But you have to build a portfolio that's built for you. So call us 888-988-JOSH. Now, I would even say you may want to stretch out 5 or 7 years because I think rates are going to be lower the minute the Fed. The second the Fed realizes they can lower rates, they're going to. Now, I don't know when that'll be. It could be a year from now. It could be 2 years from now. It could be 2 months from now. No one knows the future. But for those of you who are waiting for 8 or 9% interest rates, that may never happen. So it may happen. The future is unknowable. So you can get very nice MIGA rates. Those are multi-year guaranteed annuity rates for 3, 5, and 7 years. The only negative of those, there's no internal fee. There's no commission being taken out of your account. The only negative is if you leave the company or take more than 10% out a year, you generally either lose interest or get a surrender charge. But that would happen with the treasury. If you do a 3-year treasury and people don't want your treasury anymore, you could lose money on the open market if you go to sell your treasury. So we are at a golden age of fixed interest. James, any other questions or did that help you? Did that help you?
I just want to know, is there a difference between the treasury bill or treasury bonds? Is that the same thing?
Well, treasury bills and treasury bonds are basically the same thing in that you're giving money to the federal government backed by the full faith and credit of the government, but it's different in that the time commitment. Treasury bills are more shorter term. Treasury bonds are more longer term. So you might buy a 10-year treasury bond, and that will give you interest for 10 years. T-bill might be a 91-day T-bill, or a 364-day T-bill, or a 182-day T-bill. Which, folks, I want you all to dust off your bank statement, and if your bank is paying you 0.01 or 0.04, time to get a new bank, because you could do T-bills, T-bonds, and get way better rates right now. Folks, give us a call now. 888-988-JOSH for the 27-point ultimate financial game plan. Call me right now. 888-988-JOSH. 888-988-5674. And then when we return, we will have more questions on Clubhouse and YouTube. So if you want to head over to the YouTube, we'll be taking listener questions in a rare after-hours session. 888-988-JOSH.